This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Create Your Dream Business Now Academy, a one-of-a-kind live event where Jim will personally teach you how to market and grow a more profitable business faster, even in a crappy economy. During this event, Jim will reveal how to create a million-dollar platform on a shoestring budget. You'll learn how to generate a ton of content with ease, how to attract a steady stream of new customers, and you'll also network with other successful marketers and entrepreneurs. This not-to-be-missed event is September 4th through the 6th in Philadelphia and will quite literally transform your business. Do not miss it. Get all the details and register today at www.dreambizacademy.com. That's www.dreambizacademy.com.
This is John Taffer from Bar Rescue, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are always great things in any business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm so excited about this week's show because my special guest is best-selling author and really super entrepreneur, Scott Duffy. Let me tell you a little bit about Scott, and we'll bring him on. Scott is a best-selling author, speaker, angel investor, and business consultant. He began his career working for best-selling author and speaker Tony Robbins and went on to work for several big media brands like CBS Sports Online, NBC Internet, and FoxSports.com. And he then founded Smart Charter, an online booking tool for private aviation, which was acquired by Richard Branson's Virgin Group. And I actually saw Scott on TV, I think it was on CNBC, so that was really cool with Sir Richard. Scott has spoken at the New York Stock Exchange and has been on numerous media outlets, including CNBC, Fox News, The Wall Street Journal, and Business Week. His latest book is awesome. Everybody listening to this should go get it. It is called Launch, and Launch is a blueprint for business leaders to launch and grow successful ventures. And Scott currently lives in Southern California with his wife and two children. Hey, Scott, thank you so much for being my guest expert this week. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm totally fired up.
You know, I was checking out your book, and I really liked it. Coincidentally, there's another book called Launch Out These Days from a guy in the internet marketing space. But your book is really, really doing well. There's a lot of good things about it, and I'd like to ask you a few questions about launch. You know, one of the things I was reading in your book, Scott, was administrative tasks are like kryptonite. Actually, I was watching a bunch of your videos, too. I'm not sure if it was in the video, but, you know, it's all about how to get maximum value out of the time so you can really, you know, earn significant income. And talk a little bit about what you're referring to there with kryptonite.
Well, you know, I have two friends, and they're both business consultants. They both own their own business. And one of those friends has built a $100,000 company. That's a really good company, and she does a really good job. And I remember asking her not long ago, I said, what do you do in a typical day? And she described it. She said, I get up in the morning, I go to the office, and she talked about how she starts her day doing a bunch of administrative type of work, and then she's returning calls and emails, and I think on this particular day, she was making some marketing material and printing it and taking it to Kinko's and getting to the post office and standing in line. And I asked her, I said, when do you call on customers? And she said, well, that's all I have time to do today. Hopefully I'll do that tomorrow. I have a second friend. I have a second friend. And I asked him the same question. He's in the same exact business. And I asked him the same question. He said, tell me about your day. And he said, here's what I do. I get up, and the first thing I do is what I do best. I reach out to customers or potential customers, and I sell. And he said, the next thing I do is this. And the next, by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he's off for a 50-mile bike ride to train for the Ironman triathlon. And I asked him, I said, how do you do it? He said, look, I work my strengths and I hire my weaknesses. And I take all those administrative things, all those things that someone else could do easily, all those things take so much time out of my day, and I pass them on to somebody else. And I said, I'm just curious, how much do you make? Same business, same industry. He said $2.1 million. And so, you know, it's really interesting with that simple shift in mindset, you know, hiring, you know, working your strengths and hiring your weaknesses, taking all these administrative tasks off your plate, the difference that you can have in the results that you get.
It's really crazy. You know, somebody once said, the less I do, the more I make. And, you know, I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs like you do, and it's like, you know, if you can hire somebody to do anything, whether it's $10, $30 an hour, $100 an hour, if you really value your time at, you know, several hundred hours an hour, $1,000 an hour, whatever it is, anything you're doing that's earning less than that or that you could have somebody do for less than that is preventing you from actually making that money. So I love how you attach the kryptonite label to it. The other thing, which your friend who's making, you know, a couple million dollars, he realizes in most businesses there's current revenue and future revenue, and you need to do something every day that's in addition to current revenue, because we're always putting out fires, but you need to do something every day that's going to generate future revenue, whether it's reaching out to a prospect or, you know, nurturing their relationship with a current customer or something like that. So he really sounds like he's got it all together.
Well, you know, as a business owner, cash is like oxygen, right? If you're not constantly generating cash, that business is going to die. And you know, one of the biggest mistakes I think entrepreneurs make is they spend a lot of time just focusing their business around the one thing it is that they do well. So here's the way I think about it. Entrepreneurs kind of fall into one of three categories. I think that they're either visionary folks, meaning they've got a vision. They can see kind of the road ahead. They're passionate. They're charismatic. They're great at telling their story and getting people behind them. Or they're managers, and they're the kind of people that they may have vision, but what they really are great at is they're great at taking that vision and turning that into, you know, a viable business. They're great at putting systems in place and hiring people and managing the day-to-day. And then you have what I call sharpshooters. And these are people that are really good at one specific thing, one specific task. So they might, like, be great salespeople. Or if they're web developers, they might be great at coding or art or whatever it is. In order to build a great team around you, the first thing you have to do as an entrepreneur is identify who you are and which one of those buckets that you fall into. And then you need to go out and fill in those holes, fill in those gaps. And I think that one of the things that you find is that, you know, what many of us call work, right, is nothing that we really enjoy the most or do the best at. So those other areas that we call work, man, there's other people that play at those things, that excel, that love nothing more than to do them. So again, you know, it's finding those people. You know, I think the other thing that happens with many entrepreneurs is they're that sharpshooter. Like, they're really good in their particular area or niche or with that one skill. And so what they do is they spend all of their time on that. And they tend not to focus on doing the other things that are important in terms of building the business. Like, they'll sit at their computer and they'll design websites all day, but they won't make the time or the energy or take the effort to go and get customers.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I know people who say, okay, I'm going to start my own business. They'll spend weeks or months working on a logo instead of going out and getting their first customer. Like you said, I've heard cash is king. You say cash is like oxygen. I love that. That's even better because you really suffocate when you run out of cash.
It's true.
Scott, I wrote my fifth book. It was called Stop Waiting for It to Get Easier, because a lot of people hold off. They're waiting for things to get easier. What do you think holds most people back from getting started in the first place? And then I think part two of the question, if you would, is once entrepreneurs kind of get going, whether that's 2 years or 5 years away, what keeps them from hiring support staff and delegating and letting go?
Wow, two great questions. I mean, the first reminds me of a story. A few years ago, I was invited by Richard Branson and the Virgin Group to Richard's home on Necker Island for this Virgin event called The Gathering. And I remember I was so excited, right, to be a part of this. And on that first night, I learned that Richard didn't only own Necker Island, the island that I was staying on, but he had just bought the island next door called Mosquito. Because I guess, you know, if you're going to own one island, you might as well own the one next door, right?
Yeah, why not?
Why not, right? And so on that first night, Richard had this amazing thing in store for us. So what he did is he asked to go to the beach, and we got to the beach, and we got in these little boats, and we headed out on a course right to Mosquito. It was totally surreal, like pitch dark night. And there, by the way, Mosquito, there was like literally nothing on the island, totally deserted. And we go around this one corner, this one bend, and I can see these tiki torches on the only strip of beach. We go over there, we get off, and the Virgin team had brought over these barbecues, and they had this amazing buffet. It was incredible. I remember grabbing my food, and I was looking for a place to sit, and I saw Richard sitting on the beach. So I walked over and I sat next to him. And he seemed, he was on the phone, and he was negotiating something. I wasn't really sure what it was, but it seemed like everyone else around me knew. He's so passionate. And I remember when he hung up, I asked him. I just said, hey, Richard, do you mind if I ask what it is that you're trying to buy? And he said, the rainforest. I'm like, the rainforest? He said, yeah. I said, which one? He said, the Amazon. Because, again, I guess if you're going to buy a rainforest, you got to buy the biggest one, right? And I remember seeing, it's like in a cartoon where the words come out, you know, and they try and like grab them and pull them back in. I remember saying, like instinctively, what I think everyone else was thinking, which was, that's impossible. And I remember Richard looked at me, and it was almost like this look like, how can you get in the way of possibility? And he said, you know, you want to buy a rainforest, let me teach you how to do it. And what he did is he started to ask a bunch of questions, like, okay, assuming that we know why it is that we want to do this, like, we want to control this land because we want to stop deforestation, we want to keep the indigenous animals in the area and all that stuff, assuming we have a big enough why, he said, do we need to actually purchase it, or do you think we could lease it? And for me, that was a huge shift in thinking. And then he said, let's say that we could lease it. He said, I'm a pretty good negotiator. He said, if you got me in a room of willing sellers, do you think that I could strike a good deal? I said, I would bet on you. I'll bet you could. He said, then how would we finance it? And I remember the group started to, like, come up with names of billionaires and people with all kinds of crazy wealth that we thought would get behind this cause that Richard was so passionate about. But then Richard said something that was brilliant. What Richard said that was brilliant was this. He said, What if we actually made it easy for everyone in the world, everyone that was passionate about this, to get involved? What if we effectively crowdsourced buying the rainforest so it didn't matter if you gave a dollar or a dime? And here's the thing. In 5 minutes, buying the rainforest seemed easier than eating a bowl of soup. And what I learned in that moment is this. I learned as an entrepreneur, if you have the right mindset and the right people and you have the right resources in place, you can achieve virtually anything that you dream. And so when I meet entrepreneurs, I ask them, I not just ask, you know, what's your big idea, but I ask, where are you now? You know, where are you now in terms of getting started? Because I know so many entrepreneurs that fail. Right? They fail to get started. And the reason is they think they need to have all the resources in place before jumping in. But if there's anything that I've learned from people like Richard and other amazing entrepreneurs, it's this. It's that none of them had everything that they needed when they got started. Instead, they understood the difference between having resources and being resourceful. They learned how to identify all the different things that they needed and to accumulate those things each and every step of the way. And so what I always tell entrepreneurs is this, don't wait. Life doesn't wait. Get started. You know, launch.
Scott, I got to tell you, I interview a lot of people. I'm stymied right now. I'm actually taking notes. How can you get in the way of possibility? I love that. I mean, it really is. We all get in our own way. And the last thing you just said, you can either have resources or you can be resourceful. Man, those are some serious nuggets right there. That is so phenomenal. What do you think, Scott, is the first step to building a great team? Because, building a team, I have 9 assistants that help me, and I'm going to take off tomorrow. I just told my assistant that, and I can do that because my business will keep running. But a lot of people struggle with letting go, delegation, the whole I can do it, cheaper, faster, better than anybody. What do you think is the first step to building a great team?
Well, I'd like to answer that in 2 parts. So I think that the first step to building a great team is something I touched on earlier. It's identifying what your strengths are so that you can hire the right people around you. What many entrepreneurs do, because they're juggling lots of tasks, they don't have a lot of time, all that kind of stuff, is they hire people like them. And what that means is they typically hire people that have the same skill set, and that they're, a lot like them. And so they don't get the real benefit, the maximum benefit of that potential hire. But I think that there's a bigger thing here. And the bigger issue is I was with a friend of mine named Stephen Austin. And Stephen, the guy's a legend. Stephen created a business called Elite Combines. And Elite Combines is the number one talent evaluator for NFL talent in the United States. And basically what this means is if you're an athlete and you want to play in the pros, you go through this combine system, which is a series of interviews, physical tests, things like that, that this group would do and then give to the NFL teams. And people from the teams would watch, and this would hopefully make the team smarter so they could pick or hire the right people. Steve's company, Elite Combines, was bought by the NFL. Now it's NFL Combines. Steve's systems for evaluating talent are so good that they're used by virtually every major sports league in the world today. In fact, the Navy SEALs now use his program to determine who the best warriors of the future are going to be.
Wow.
So I'm like, this is the guy. So I asked him, I said, Steve, I said, what is the difference that makes the difference? Like, what's the difference between the number one guy in the NFL and number two? And he said something that surprised me. He said, 3 plays. I said, 3 plays? He said, yeah, 3 plays. That's all it takes. I said, how's that possible? He said, think about it. The number one guy makes 3 plays in the game. Let's say it's a quarterback like Tom Brady. He either throws the ball away instead of taking a sack, right? He calls a timeout instead of getting a delay of game, right? He slides versus getting hit by a defender and getting knocked out. But if you take those 3 plays and you add them or you multiply them by 16 games in the regular season, 4 playoff games in the Super Bowl, there's almost 70 things that the number one guy does that number two doesn't. So I asked him, how do I apply that to my business? I said, what does that mean to me? He said, here's the thing. He said, hiring is really important. I said, Steve, I said, I got a question. I said, if I'm hiring and I want to apply this, I said, what is like the biggest nugget? And what Steve told me is he said, you don't learn whether or not that person can basically make those 3 plays in the combines. What you have to do is you have to basically watch hours and hours and hours of film. And he said, but here's what you need to know, Scott. He said, when it comes to hiring an athlete or someone in your company, hiring is the only place in business that an entrepreneur has perfect information. It's the only place in your business. Everything else is a guess until it happens. He said, because with hiring, if you do your homework, you can take a look back and you can see exactly what a person did and exactly how they perform in order to predict how they're going to affect your business. The problem is that most entrepreneurs, because they're so busy, they instead of like going back and checking references and really looking at the people they're interviewing, what they do is they go with gut. And the reason they go with gut, they always tell me, is because, like, Scott, I don't have enough time. But the question I have for them is, if you don't have enough time to make the right hire now, how are you going to have enough time down the road to clean up this big mess that you're going to make? And that's the mistake.
That's brilliant. That is so brilliant. And that is really where a lot of people get into trouble, is hiring the wrong things. One of the people I coached just today said, you know, I said, you got to let this person go. And they said, you know, I had there was a red flag when I first hired him. And I said, what made you think the red flag was going to go away just because you hired him? You know what I mean? So causes a little bit of a thing. Go ahead, Scott.
If I could just add to that, I think, you know, one of the places that entrepreneurs really struggle is when they get their businesses started, they typically, you know, don't have a whole lot of cash, right? Their business isn't generating cash. And so they don't have a lot of money to spend on bringing people in. And they feel, as a result, they feel really loyal to those people there at a very early stage. And as their business grows and starts to take off, those people that were with them at the beginning might not be the right people to take them to the next step. And it's so important as an entrepreneur to really be thinking about, you know, in every position in your company, you know, what is the ideal avatar, the perfect profile of the person that I need in that position to take me to the next level? You know, you need to have the right person in the right place at the right time. If you don't, your business is going to get stuck. And again, where entrepreneurs get trapped is they feel this sense of loyalty. But I got to tell you, when you're thinking about loyalty, you need to think about being loyal to you. You need to think about being loyal to your family. You need to think about being loyal to your investors and all of the other people that have contributed to making your dream a reality.
Yeah, you know, I actually live that, Scott. I went to work for a chain of stores way back when. It was 14 stores, and we started franchising. And we ultimately grew to 80 stores in 18 states. But the original team that helped this entrepreneur grow to 14 stores did not want to go for this big ride and did not want to work with franchise owners. And they were like an anchor on the growth of this company. And it was such a thing. He was so loyal to the team that got him started, it really hindered the growth. So I know exactly what you're saying there. I've got I probably got about 5 more minutes of your time here. I got a bunch of questions. What's the number one piece of advice you would give entrepreneurs, Scott?
Well, that's a good question. I'd say have a terrible memory. I think have a terrible memory. That would be it. I think that you know, one of the biggest things that, you know, entrepreneurs face each and every day is something not working out the way that they had planned, right? Or a business not, you know, working out and, you know, failing, having to close, whatever it is. And the thing is, you know, I always joke that when I listen to people introduce me, it kind of makes me chuckle inside because, you know, when you line up all these brands like NBC and CBS and Fox and Virgin, it makes everything sound so easy. But the reality is, I don't know any entrepreneur that's been successful that, you know, whose path hasn't been totally littered in failure. And I know that's the case with me. But what I found is the entrepreneurs that really, you know, the ones that really kick butt and succeed over the long term, the ones that make it happen, are the people that have a way of forgetting what went wrong. And they know, they've learned how to package those things in a way, those experiences in a way, where they've learned from them and they use them as fuel to keep going forward. You know, you just got to keep your head down. You got to keep going. You got to learn from that experience and move yourself forward. So I would say have a crummy memory. You know, forget about that thing that happened that didn't work and spin it in your head into something that's going to work for you.
You know, the other side of a terrible memory, I believe, is naivete. And when you look at people who go out and accomplish something and you ask them, how'd you do that? They say, well, nobody told me it couldn't be done. You know, there could be a bunch of people who have tried things, but no one told this guy. He just went out and did it because he didn't have that preconceived notion in his subconscious mind that says, uh-oh, danger, you know, it's not going to happen. So let me ask you about your book, Scott. Go ahead.
Let me just follow up on that real quick. What I'd say is, you're right. That can really be a big advantage to folks. It's such a big advantage. It can also work against them. And so this is what I would recommend. If you are an entrepreneur that is trying to enter a market and you see a problem, and maybe the problem looks totally obvious, right? Maybe it looks like it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that nobody has solved that, right? And I'm going to come to this market with all fresh thinking, a fresh set of eyes. Well, what I do is I take a deep breath, because what I found is that when a problem is so obvious today that it hasn't been solved, there's usually a good reason why. And so it doesn't mean you can't do it, but what I would do is I would take a step back and before jumping in, make sure to do my homework. The other thing I do is I attach myself to a couple of people that are industry veterans that might know things about that particular industry that is a newbie, like I don't necessarily know that could factor into my planning. And the last thing is this. A lot of the time, an entrepreneur or somebody who's successful in business thinks that that success is going to transfer seamlessly into another type of business or another industry. But if there's anything that I've learned, it's that no two industries, no two businesses, no two moments in time are exactly the same. And so, again, make sure you surround yourself with good people and don't just assume because you've been successful over here that you can wake up in the morning and be successful over there.
That's awesome. Hey, Scott, in our final minutes, I want to ask you one last question about your book. You mentioned the word fuel earlier, and I know in your book you write 97% of a rocket's fuel is used in the first 3 feet of its launch. It just takes everything to get going, get the momentum. And you write, the same is true when launching a new business. The first few steps are absolutely critical and help determine which ventures will take off and which ones fail. In the last couple of minutes, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, it's so true. You know, it's so important that when you are launching a new business or product or service, you know, that you get it right. And that's really what my book launch is all about. It's all about how to take your idea and how to get it to market. And we focus on two things in the book. The first is what I think is the most important part of entrepreneurship, which is the personal side. It's how does owning this business, how does starting this business, how is it going to affect everything from, you know, my personal finances to my relationships at home? You know, what kind of people do I need to have around me? How do I build my personal brand? How do I have the right mindset so when things don't go right, I'm able to continue moving forward? And then the second part of the book is all about the strategies and tactics. I think it's the easy stuff. That's like the other 20%. How to write a business plan, how to build a team, how to raise capital, all that stuff. In order to help you to succeed.
Awesome. Just awesome. So everybody listening to this, I want you to go out and buy Scott's book. It's really, really a great book. Scott, how can people learn more about you? How can they get their hands on the book? What's the best website for that?
Sure. The book is available in bookstores all over the U.S. You can find it online or come to my website at Scott Duffy, ScottDuffy.com. And when you get there, you'll find tons of video programs, all kind of ways to learn from my programs and also to get in touch.
Scott, it's been a real pleasure, a very fun interview, and I've really enjoyed connecting and learning from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special edition of Stick Like Glue Radio with best-selling author and really, I think, mega entrepreneur Scott Duffy. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Be sure to register for the next Dream Business Academy, which is in Philadelphia this coming September, and watch for another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now, before the day's out, go out there and do something nice for somebody. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.